From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll look at the cash grain market with TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, discuss the weather forecast with Pete Levitt. And along the way today, we'll hear all about the hog market and how it may plummet in terms of losses for hog producers across the Midwest and around the nation. Losses they haven't seen since 1998 and 2002, and those were really, really bad years. Purdue's Chris Hurt will be along to take that topic up right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. The wheat pit for the afternoon. The nearby soft red winter wheat at $8.72, up 26 and a quarter for the day. December at $8.91 3/4, that's up 24. And the March up 23 and a quarter at $9.03 3/4. July at $8.64 1/4, up 12 1/4 for the day. The hard red finished July in Kansas City at $8.83 1/4, up 8 cents. September corn futures $7.97 1/4, up 7.5 for the day. December futures $7.98 1/2, up 7 3/4. And the March corn at $8.01 1/2, up 6 3/4. July futures there $7.84 1/2, up 5.5 cents. And next year's December at $6.60 1/2, 3 3/4 higher. Bean futures finished the September's at $17.44, down 4 cents. November's were up 1.5 cents at $17.49 1/2. Their settlement price, though, at $17.47, finished down 0.5 cents. That just came in. January futures at $17.45 3/4, 0.5 cents lower. And the May contract at $16.12 3/4, down 0.25 cents. July soybeans down 1 cent at $15.85 1/4. And next year's November at $13.78 1/4. 1 3/4 cents higher. Bean meal futures at $5.31 1/8. That's 2 cents lower for the day. Bean oil at $56.78, down 58 cents on the afternoon. The live cattle futures finished the nearby December at $129.20. That's a nickel lower for the day. And the October feeders at $146.25, down 87.5. December lean hogs at $70.90, 97.5 cents lower on the afternoon. The outside markets, RBOB gasoline at 298.9 cents, at 3 8/10 cents higher for the day, and ethanol at 253. That's 0.1 cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the phone line now, Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Hi, Todd.
Well, as you look at the marketplace, how interested were you in the chart action for the week?
Well, not a lot has changed, I think, since the last time I talked to you. December corn is still hanging in this $8 level here, give or take 5 or 6 cents. November beans maybe down a little bit since the last time I talked to you, but we're still in this 1740 to 1760 area, kind of hanging tough in here. And wheat futures had some declines, but with today's advance, they've kind of made up some of their advances. So not a lot has changed on the technical front. I am a little concerned with a couple different formations, but nothing to panic about. Corn kind of looks to me like it could be making a rounded type top. Nothing confirmed yet. There is bearish divergence on the November soybean charts when you look at the technical indicators. But again, nothing has been confirmed. So far, basically, this weakness that we have seen, except for today, basically has been more of a corrective in nature. And I think basically the trade is trying to wait out until we see what USDA's September crop estimates are going.
A series of numbers have been released. Where do you land on what size the crop might be?
I haven't actually put a number on it yet because there's a lot of acreage adjustments that are going to have to come forward here. Usually USDA doesn't do those acreage adjustments until we get into October, but the last few years they haven't necessarily been consistent, so I doubt if they do any acreage changes on the September report, but I do think from some private survey work that I have seen, as well as the certified numbers that came into the Farm Services Agency, does indicate that we did plant more corn and soybeans than maybe what USDA reported on the June report. But on the flip side of that, we're losing a lot of harvested acres. There is just acre after acre that's being plowed under or tore up. So that's going to be much larger than any kind of normal type situation. So they may end up canceling out for one another. But I haven't heard any big yields to get me terribly bearish on supply yet anyway.
What do you see on demand? Is anybody cutting back really? And I'm talking mostly about the export market at this point.
Well, we did see a perk up a little bit of demand. We did see some corn demand here today. We continue to get soybean demand out of the export market. And then with Russia's short wheat crop, Egypt was rumored to have bought some wheat out of that Eastern European area, and that Russia may be close to closing off any further export sales. So worldwide, we're short on grain inventories and oilseed inventories. And I just think that is generally going to be an underlying supportive influence to these markets. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have some volatility and some wide-ranging swings in this market that's going to be a little scary at times. But I think until overall world supplies begin to build, it's going to be pretty tough to kill this market unless we get into some form of outside financial collapse, which I would not rule that out. Europe still has problems. United States hasn't resolved any of their problems yet. So I think the outside influences could come in at any time and kind of tear up the grain picture. But at least for now, everything looks like they're pretty good hands, pretty good support under the market. I think tomorrow's report by Infoma Economics is going to be interesting because they always release two numbers. They release a number that what they think USDA is going to put the crop at for this month, and then they release a number that what they think the final is going to be, and that's going to reflect higher acres. Now, like I said, everybody's going to be watchful to see what they do with harvested acres, whether or not that cancels one another out. But they are going to bump up the planted area, and we'll kind of go from there.
Do you have a feeling on the soybean market whether the rainfall has helped very much the crop in the United States?
Well, my guess is rain always helps. The question is how much, and how big an area did it help? A lot of beans were probably already turning and probably not going to help that much, but there was probably some beneficialness for the rains. But even if the crop is a little higher than what USDA pegged in August, just as what the FC Stone number did indicate, we're still way short of inventory. And as I told the group that came down to New Orleans here a couple weeks ago, that you know the export demand for new crop soybeans is at a record. I think we've already sold about 60% what's already been projected, and that number continues to grow. South America is just out of inventory. There's no inventory going to come from South America until you get into early or late spring. And then the current weather pattern in Brazil right now, the northern and central areas are dry. Now, it's not uncommon. It's still early yet. But if you don't begin to see a weather pattern shift in South America, you could have the trade begin to bite their nails on weather issue problems or a shortened crop out of South America, which the trade desperately needs.
All right. So it appears to me that for both corn and soybeans, you would be feeling at least neutral to friendly, maybe better than that, for the near term, with some potential problems in like the outside marketplace. Would you feel safe, I think, with the presidential election coming up, that through at least the election, as long as the administration can manage to stave off any kinds of problems, it will, and that the marketplace should stay fairly strong through that November, that first Tuesday in November?
Well, I don't have a lot of confidence in our leadership in Washington for anything. And I think they're highly overrated at what they can do. The market is going to punish them eventually, and when that punishment comes, it's going to be severe. I can say, though, looking at some of my cyclical work, and this is just a wild guess at this point in time, I do think some of the short-term cyclical work is kind of friendly, maybe into a late September, early October high, which would be counter-seasonal. That's when we normally make seasonal lows. And then we have a decline during October. And then the market may regroup and rally into February. So I would not rule out a winter rally this year. And if we would have something like that, that could be the high for the year. 13, I think, the way I look at it, at some exotic angles, could be pretty much a down year. So right now, I'm kind of watching very carefully what how this market performs. It may rally right on into January, February, and then begin to tail off. Short crops have a tendency to get shorter, and this may be the case this year. We'll just have to kind of take 1 month at a time. But I do think that the market, from a cyclical point of view, I would not be surprised if this thing would rally right on into February.
Dan, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Hey, visit us online at willag.org if you want. That's willag.org. Up next, Dave Dickey with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a bankruptcy judge on Wednesday allowed the trustee unwinding MF Global Holdings brokerage to combine his claims with individuals suing MF Global former executives in district court. Trustee James Giddens has recovered about $5.3 billion of the $5.5 billion to $6 billion in U.S. customers' segregated funds held at the brokerage and has returned more than $4.7 billion to customers with a series of bulk transfers. Giddens still estimates a $1.6 billion shortfall in customer accounts, money that should have been matched dollar for dollar. The company that wants to build a pipeline to transport crude oil from Canada to the Gulf Coast refineries said Wednesday it has revised its proposed new route through Nebraska to avoid environmentally sensitive areas. Nebraska regulators said they would review the new proposal and hold a public hearing on it before submitting a recommendation to the governor, possibly by the end of the year. The governor will decide whether to approve the new route for the pipeline. The group of 20 industrial and developing nations will hold an urgent food summit in October to discuss a rapid rise in prices in the global grain market. The meeting comes amid soaring global grain prices as the U.S. tackles its worst drought in more than half a century and a poor harvest that is plaguing much of the Black Sea breadbasket. NOAA's Climate Prediction Center says an El Niño is likely to develop during September and persist through the remainder of the year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Just a reminder, if you haven't purchased your Salute to Agriculture Day tickets for the Illini football game just a week away, that's the next home one on the 15th day of September, you should do it now. It's only available, this really good deal, that is, through tomorrow afternoon. There is a link on our website at willag.org to see more from Tim Beckman, head coach, and to buy tickets to the Charleston Southern game right here on this campus for Salute to Agriculture. You get the game ticket, a great meal at the Aces tent starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and a couple of drinks. There's no better deal for $20. Salute to Agriculture, the Charleston Southern game in Memorial Stadium. Now up next, you know, pork producers in the United States are expected to post record losses in the coming months. I'll have more with Purdue's Chris Hurt. A tsunami of red ink is about to wash across the pork industry, greater than anything ever recorded in the United States. Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt says the fourth quarter of this year will be worse for pork producers than the financial devastation of 1998.
The stressors are more hogs than expected, a rapid sow liquidation that is now underway, and record feed prices. Losses in the final quarter of this year could be $60 per head, exceeding the previous record quarterly losses of $45 a head in the fall of 1998.
Slaughter numbers in the middle 2 weeks of August were up about 6%, notes Hurt, when only about 1% more hogs were expected. This has caused a $10 hundredweight drop in live prices since late July, with prices now in the low 60s. The source of those extra hogs is probably related to some delayed marketings due to the summer heat, to a desire to sell pigs more quickly before prices really tumble moving into fall, and to high sow slaughter. Projected prices for the final quarter for this year are in the mid-$50 range, using current lean hog futures as a base.
Tragically, cost of production are expected to be about $75 per live hundredweight for the remainder of the summer, this fall, and winter. Losses per head this summer are estimated at $30 per head, and that will be followed this fall by the record quarterly losses of around $60 a head. Then losses in the first and second quarters of 2013 are projected to be $38 and $5 in the spring quarter.
Over this one-year span, losses may average about $33 a head. That means total losses of around $4 billion with a B for the U.S. pork industry.
Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois, on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Don.
Well, last week you said you were about halfway done with corn harvest there. You probably got slowed down. How close are you now?
Still about halfway done.
Yeah.
Ever since we talked, we had, you know, quite a bit of rain. We were real fortunate, like most people, I think, in central Illinois, in that we got a fair amount of rain and it came right. And so, you know, people were pretty excited about that. Guys are getting back in the field today. They tried a little bit there yesterday before it rained, but back in the field today.
So you got the first set from Isaac over the weekend, and then you got another set in the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, we got another half inch to an inch and a half, depending on where you're at here in the last, you know, yesterday. So, you know, and there's a chance again tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Much help for the soybeans in your area?
I think there's been some help for the soybeans. You talk to agronomists and you go out and look for yourself, and there's no question that you know, the flat pods we were worried about 4 or 5 weeks ago just really isn't the case anymore. You've got actually some beans in them, so it's nice to see.
For corn and beans, how's basis holding up?
Well, you know, basis kind of fallen a little bit, weakened up just a little bit. And as far as corn goes, you know, there's several processors backed off just a hair. So, you know, our basis locally has actually been off, you know, probably 20 cents in the last 2 weeks.
What do you think about the marketplace as you look forward to maybe the month of the rest of September and then October?
Obviously, the you know, the big wild card, I think, is the crop report coming up. You know, what's it going to tell us? And are we going to have any big surprises? And, you know, I'm still in the camp that thinks that we're still too high on this corn crop. I know we hear some decent yields here and there. But as far as, you know, average-wise, I'm just not hearing it. So I think we're going to get a bit of a surprise on the corn. And, you know, the beans might be a little bit of a bear surprise because I could see the bean crop maybe growing a little bit. So to me, that's going to set the tone, and it's going to be really tough to tell what we're going to do until we see those numbers.
You think you have local blinders on, or are you hearing not such good reports from all across the Midwest?
Well, we're hearing not such good reports from a lot of places in the Midwest. You know, and get stuff from different DSMs and different seed companies, and, you know, it's in multiple states. And so I think that, you know, one agronomist told me that he's seeing 4-1 disappointed versus happy as far as what they thought their corn yields were going to make, you know, in the state of Illinois and Indiana. And so to me, that's a pretty big number. You know, I guess it'll be really interesting to see what they come up with, but I just have a hard time believing that number won't be, you know, lower yet than what the pro farmer number is.
Speaking of numbers, your bids for the day?
Yeah, our cash corn bid will be 810 and Jan's just 809, then cash beans 1747 and Jan's 1746.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon.
The closing market report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
It's National Coffee Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1620, the Pilgrims set sail from England aboard the Mayflower. Initially, the trip went smoothly, but underway, they were met with strong winds and storms. One of those caused a main beam to crack, and although they were more than halfway to the destination, the possibility of turning back was considered. But using a great iron screw, probably a jack that was used for house construction, brought along by the colonists, they repaired the ship enough to continue on to the New World. In 1892, John Froelich made the first gasoline-powered tractor. It was sent to Langford, South Dakota, which lacked easy access to a wood or coal supply for steam-powered units. His 16-horsepower machine was geared for both forward and reverse motion. It was powered by a Van Dusen vertical single-cylinder gasoline engine mounted on wooden beams upon a Robinson running gear. And in 1899, Carnation began production of evaporated milk. Elbridge Stewart and a fellow business partner founded the Pacific Coast Condensed Milk Company in Kent, Washington. It was based solely on the relatively new process of evaporation. As sales began to grow, Stewart searched for a brand name for his product. While walking in downtown Seattle, he passed a tobacco shop window with cigars on display around a sign proclaiming their name, Carnation. The company was renamed the Carnation Evaporated Milk Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The closing market report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. A couple of things to keep in mind. Commodity Week is coming up on Saturday in the weekend, but you can always pick it up off our website beforehand. At about 6 o'clock Friday evening, we'll post it. Our guest this week is Mr. Van Trump. He's been on once before, really good guest, and I hope you'll enjoy that program. Zwicker will be with us on that program, too. Commodity Week, we record that about 4:30 in the afternoon Friday, recorded and posted then to willag.org by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. Also, on that same website, you can pick up tickets to Salute to Agriculture.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.